Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Fantasy Football Podcast, formerly known as the Fantasy Flex. Bo Johnson, Brian Gebhardt coming at you on 92.9thegame.com. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. It is October 16th. We are in it to win it for week 7. The fantasy football regular season, BG, is almost halfway here. Like, when we get back from week 7, it's going to be beyond the halfway point in most leagues.
I know, it was a tough week for me on so many different fronts from a football standpoint. You've been very kind and haven't even mentioned the LSU over Georgia.
I was going to try to stay away from that.
It's okay. I would have said something. Podcast, you just got to jab it out there. Giants looked terrible on Thursday night, and it was just a really bad weekend in general for me.
Those happen.
Fantasy teams losing, all that type of stuff. But here we are, just about midway through, plenty of action left.
It's kind of crazy to think about, though, but now is the time of the season when you start thinking about your postseason roster. If you're one of those 4-2, 5-1, luckily undefeated teams, you're starting to size up the teams. We kind of know, you know, barring players coming back from injury, what teams have great defenses, what matchups are going to be solid, and you want to kind of start constructing your roster for that week 14, 15, 16 of the playoff or the fantasy playoffs.
Right there with you. As far as defenses, you bring up a good point. Something we talked about last week, you know, there's really only a handful of defenses in the league that you kind of worry about the matchup. And for you at this point, yeah. I mean, I look at what happened to the Jags this week against the Cowboys. I look at what happened to the Bears against the Dolphins and Brock Osweiler. And I mean, how many, I know it's kind of individual case and versus the run versus the pass, but how many defenses do you look at the 3 or 4 and go, I don't want to play guys against them, because there's less and less each week to me.
Well, it's becoming more and more apparent that you really don't want to try to overthink things, all right? Your top 3, 4, 5, 6 running backs you're going to start every week regardless of matchup. Your top 3, 4, 5 receivers, regardless of matchup, you're probably going to roll those guys out too. But when you start to get into your RB2, wide receiver 2 conversations, there are a few defenses that I'm still going to try to stay away from if I can. And that's going to be the Jacksonville secondary. That's going to be the New Orleans, you know, front 7, the Chicago front 7. I still don't want to restart an RB2 or a flex against those defenses if I can all, you know, get around it.
Especially if those teams are at home. That's always something.
Yeah, absolutely.
When defense, you know, defense travels, people always say that, but defense is at home. I mean, when you get the crowd behind you, that type of thing. Much like the Bears this week, which we'll get into in our fire and ice picks.
So on a bye this week, we've got 4 teams, and, you know, 3 of those teams have fantasy worthy, you know, players that you're going to have to consider having to replace with fill-ins, and those are the Packers, Raiders, Steelers, Seahawks. So we're going to go ahead and get into what we learned in this past week, and I'd kind of like to start this thing off with a little bit of a quarterback conversation is what I've kind of been paying attention to, at least through week 6 and how this week finished up. And let me just go ahead and get this out there by saying Matt Ryan's a number 2 quarterback in fantasy football right now. All right. Hey, there it is.
And
he's having a super solid season. He's right behind the season where he put up MVP numbers. He's not the MVP of the league right now. He's not the best quarterback in the league right now. He's in a perfect situation for a fantasy quarterback, but albeit number 2 behind a rookie of all things.
He's been spectacular. He's been awesome. And, you know, always a conversation here on 92.9 The Game about what Matt Ryan is and what he isn't, and get rid of him and don't. He's been spectacular, and there's no signs of him slowing down at any point this season, especially with a potential Monday night shootout coming up against the Giants at home this week.
Yeah, you like Matt Ryan's numbers, you would think, for the rest of the season. Now, the defense is going to improve somewhat. All right, you might get Deion Jones back, maybe. You know, you're not going to get Keanu Neal back. So that secondary, unless they bring some free agent or bring a trade in or something, which why would you do that at 2-4? And of course, they keep winning. You never know. But Matt Ryan's putting up those numbers in the same fashion that Jameis Winston should for the rest of the season. And that's because they have horrible defenses, which brings me to my next point. Would it surprise you one bit if Jameis Winston finishes the season as the number 1 fantasy quarterback from week 6 on?
For me, it would. I think he's got the weapons, he's got the bad defense, all of those things. But you look at the game flow of even that Falcons game, they came down and scored right away. And then they really did nothing for about a quarter and a half to 2 quarters. I think when they
when he threw his couple of few interceptions.
His couple of interceptions there. And then, I mean, down the stretch, he wound up playing very well. But that was against, I mean, the Falcons straight up are one of the worst defenses in the league. And I think when he plays middle of the road to above average defenses, that he won't put up quite those numbers. I see him as a quarterback 1, someone I feel very comfortable starting, But me personally, I would be shocked if he's the number one quarterback from here on out.
So you have him as a top 10 quarterback, but it would shock you if he finishes as the best quarterback?
It would shock me. It would shock me if he was better than Mahomes. It would shock me if he's better than Matt Ryan rest of the way. I know what you're saying. It would shock me. I need to see it from him first. I know he's put up big fantasy numbers here and there, but his problem has always been consistency, and I don't see week to week him scoring three touchdowns and putting up 300 yards.
Second half of the 2017 season, Jameis Winston was indeed a top five quarterback. So I'm just saying,
all right,
if
it would
he's
shock
still
me.
Available in your league,
oh, definitely pick him up.
Pick up Jameis. He's got a lot of favorable matchups, and then the matchups that we might deem not very favorable are probably matchups that might be getting blown out. They're gonna have a tough time running the ball like they already have. They're gonna have a tough time beating anyone because of their porous Swiss cheese defense, and it's only going to lead to Jameis throwing the ball more. It's Mr. Garbage Time, just like Blake Bortles of a few years back, you know.
And he's got some of the best weapons, the best set of weapons in the league. I mean, between Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson and Chris Godwin, two good tight ends, and O.J. Howard, who looked healthy this past week, Cameron Brate, someone he's already developed a relationship with. So everything's there. I just think to be number one, I think would shock me the rest of the way.
So Jameis Winston, a great fantasy quarterback for the duration of the season. We at least both agree about that. Aaron Rodgers, how good is this guy? Supposedly, this guy has a strained MCL.
Supposedly.
I refuse to believe that any longer.
I want to take what he's taking. Whatever
you know what
he's
I'm
taking. Whatever you're drinking, whatever
kind
of shot.
If it does come out, then Aaron Rodgers gets suspended. Now, we're not trying to start any stuff like that, but Aaron Rodgers is a phenomenal talent. The best quarterback in the league, hands down, I think. If this doesn't show it to you, how he's carrying that team on his back. If Aaron Rodgers, you take him away from the Green Bay Packers. This was the Aaron Rodgers argument the year Matt Ryan won the MVP. Aaron Rodgers has carried this team on his back. He's doing it for another season on one leg, supposedly. All right. This is why people were on the Aaron Rodgers side of the MVP conversation that particular year, because he means more to his team than Matt Ryan did to the Falcons. I still believe that. That's not hate talk. But if you take Aaron Rodgers off this Green Bay team right now and put there's a few quarterbacks that could lead it, but they're nothing. They've got nothing.
If you take the definition of just value of a player, aside from what the narrative of what people think an MVP is, he is the most valuable player in the league. His throws down the stretch last night after they got that interception, not only the touchdown to Davante Adams to tie it up, but you just knew when they got that ball back. He got that sack on third. There was a sack on third down, but there was the flag.
Yep.
And then he's just throwing beautiful back shoulder throws.
And then leaving the pocket.
Yeah. I mean, it was incredible. And then for him to scramble on the bum knee to make that play as well, he's going to be it's a big issue this week, like you mentioned, with him on a bye and all those Packers weapons. I'm absolutely screwed in one league.
Speaking of Packers weapons, number two wide receiver in fantasy football. Can you take a wild gander about who it is?
Who is that? Who's that, Bo?
That's going to be one Davante Adams for the Green Bay Packers. Number two wide receiver in fantasy football through week six. Six touchdowns, mind you, to Packers tight end Jimmy Graham with only one. Jimmy Graham sits currently tight end number eight.
I know.
I said I thought Jimmy Graham was going to finish outside the top 10. Also said that that Davante Adams would double Jimmy Graham in touchdowns. Now, this was a conversation in the bullpen after our podcast that particular week, where I also said Davante Adams would have 15 wide receiving touchdowns on the year, and he's on pace for that with 6 through 6. So,
yeah, I'm going to eat my words with the Jimmy Graham thing. I mean, he's just a middle of the road tight end. You feel comfortable starting each week. I still think the touchdowns will come for him. I mean, obviously, we only got so many weeks left in the season, so he's probably not going to reach that double digit mark, but he should wind up on the year with 7, 8, 9 or so range.
But it is pretty apparent that Aaron Rodgers definitely has eyes for Davante Adams, even when they get into the red zone.
100%. And then these rookie wide receivers are coming along as well. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, his one catch of the night was the big one down the sideline. I mean, so these are guys that are developing. You're going to have Allison come back. Cobb will probably still be out for a couple of weeks there as well. But, Davante Adams is in that short list now with the Antonio Browns of the world, the Hopkins, the Michael Thomas. I mean, he's right there in that top five conversation.
Numbers don't lie. And to round off this quarterback conversation that I wanted to have really quick, when we're talking about what we learned, I'm going to ask you, VG, the Giants fan, about Eli Manning. Now, look.
Do you have to?
Eli Manning looks horrible. Now, it's not all his fault. We all know about the offensive line struggles for the New York Giants. Now, what is bad for Eli Manning is fantastic for Saquon Barkley. As Saquon Barkley could, if you in a redraft league right now, is he go number two overall behind Todd Gurley?
For me, probably two or three, because Melvin Gordon's been an absolute monster.
Yeah,
but those are the three right there.
Wrong with
it's kind of those three
right?
And then everybody else at this point in time.
I 100% agree. So, look, I'm not saying that you're in a situation where you're having to decide whether or not to start Eli every week. I doubt that he's even owned in most 10-team leagues. My biggest concern right now is with OBJ, though. All right, pretty crappy week last week. Finally got in the end zone 2 weeks ago after he had to run off at the mouth. Now the Giants owner is saying he wished Odell Beckham would speak less, play more. But how well can he really play if Eli can't get him the ball, either because he's on his back or he's it's not looking good. What do you think about this Giants pass catcher situation in New York right now?
The tough part is that OBJ, the biggest thing about him, he's a phenomenal wide receiver, but he's always looking for the deep ball, and it is evident that Eli can't do that anymore. I mean, he's not going to throw you a perfect 40, 50-plus yard pass down the sideline. You might get one or two of those the rest of the season, so he's got to realize that and, you know, be willing to go across the middle a little bit more. This is what this offense is going to be, quick screens, quick outs, and going to have to make plays with that. All that being said, we'll talk about Sterling Shepard, because I think he's a really strong play this week coming up on Monday night. But this is something we talked about a little bit before we got in here. If Eli and OBJ can't do it against this Falcons defense as currently constructed, then it is time to panic a little bit. I don't know what you're going to get if you tried to trade OBJ, just because everyone else is going to see what you're seeing, especially when it's a Monday night game and everybody's watching a Sunday night or a Monday night game. But it's time to panic if Eli can't get, you know, two touchdowns, 250-plus on Monday night at a minimum.
Do you think, knowing the rest of the Giants' schedule, that there's a situation where if you could get him this week with a tasty matchup before Monday Night Football, if you could trade for OBJ, that'd be a wise thing to look about doing?
It all depends on what you're giving up.
If he blows up on Monday Night Football,
then it's
going to be a lot harder to do that.
100%. Yeah, I mean, OBJ is somebody, if you're one of those people who's got maybe one or two wins and you need a win in fantasy, and you think, you know, maybe your guy's on a bye and you can trade it to, maybe when you got one of the Packers, not Devontae Adams, but maybe a combination of some other guys, and you are willing to trade them to try to get OBJ, I mean, go ahead and do that. Or one of the guys on the Seahawks or one of the guys on the Steelers, you know. If you can go ahead and try to do that, then it's something to consider if you need to win this week.
So that's what I've learned, I guess, through week six and thus far, you know, as we start into week seven, is life has been about the quarterback, both positive and negative. So what did you learn from this week, BG?
What I learned is that Doug Baldwin is back to a certain degree. We had a Doug Baldwin sighting. He's someone I've been high on.
Hobbly legs.
Yes, on hobbly legs. I don't think he did anything in the first quarter, I believe, but six catches for 91 yards. They're going into a bye week, so people are going to kind of forget about him. Still hasn't scored a touchdown. He is someone I would target in leagues. He gets a week of rest. He's going to come back. He's still Russell Wilson's favorite target in Seattle. This is a team that's 3-3. And I think someone that's very much in the conversation for a wild card spot in the NFC, they're going to be fighting down the stretch. And Baldwin is going to be a big part of this offense moving forward. He's someone that I think is going to find the end zone a lot after this bye week, and someone that I would target. One other thing that I learned this week is I don't think I can trust anybody on the Titans offense. It's someone we talk about, or a team we talk about a lot. Mariota's just not that guy. The O-line's banged up. The running back by committee, neither of them can get anything going. And it's just the inconsistencies at wide receiver. The whole team is inconsistent as a whole, especially the offensive side of the ball.
Is Ryan Succop the most startable player on the Tennessee Titans offense?
Probably. I mean, it's tough, man. I mean, unless you're in absolute desperation mode, there is no way in hell you should ever be starting Mariota. I mean, if you have to start one of those running backs, running back's thin. Again, we've got four pretty good teams on buys this week, but you have to be in a desperate situation. I had Henry in a few leagues. I've dropped him over the last week or two. I mean, he's just has no value at all right now. It's especially in PPR leagues.
So that's what we learned this week. Now, what had happened was, and I'm gonna kick this thing off. Now, this is a two-sided coin here, because I'm gonna told you so a little bit on this player too. All right, so Josh Gordon, 5 catches for 42 yards. You might not think that's a lot, so that comes out to like 9.2 points in, you know, PPR leagues. So if you started Josh Gordon and benched somebody that had a good game, you know, okay, my bad. But there are better things to come for Josh Gordon. I think that this game right here is an indication of that. I mean, he did have 5 catches, 42 yards. If one of those catches is a 60-yard touchdown, his day is saved and he has a, you know, 18-point game as opposed to just 9.2. So there you go. I'll eat crow slightly on the Josh Gordon call, but I'm not going to give up that on that one. It's going to be one that I stay with.
Are we getting into a situation in New England almost in years past? Like, they have really good weapons, but there's almost too many now. Yeah. You know, you've got Edelman, you had Hogan. He showed signs of life a little bit there on Sunday night. You got Gordon, you've got, you still got Cordarrelle Patterson, you've got Gronk, but he doesn't look like the same Gronk. And it just seems like all these guys are people that you're probably going to start and probably going to play, but I don't know what to expect much out of this whole wide receiving core.
It's looking like it's kind of a role reversal where you used to have, you know, two pretty solid weapons that would catch the ball down the field, but you had a muckety-muck of like 5 running backs. Who there would be one that had a good game every week. You just never knew who it was going to be. The running back situation, you've got 2 guys. They're both pretty startable, especially in a PPR. You know, I'm not sure how valuable James White is in a non-PPR, but you don't even find those many leagues like that out there anymore.
My first what had happened was Dalvin Cook. At some point in the season, he's going to prove me right, Bo. I swear. So I'm going to continue to stick with him. He was my fire pick. Obviously didn't play. He was supposed to play, then he was supposed to be on a snap count. And then luckily for fantasy owners, he just didn't play altogether, which is sometimes what you'd prefer, especially with a guy who's dealing with a hamstring injury, who's an explosive athlete that you want to see him just rest up and play. Meanwhile, Latavius Murray balled out. That was their first rushing touchdown of the year for the Minnesota Vikings. They were the last team in the NFL to get a rushing touchdown. I would still try to target Cook in trades, because as the weather gets colder, as Minnesota's in this playoff stretch, as this defense kind of rounds back into form, Mike Zimmer is going to want to run the football, and Cook is much more talented than Murray, even though Murray's been very capable up to this point.
And I think the biggest thing you can take away from Latavius Murray's success is how good Dalvin Cook can be once he gets back into the swing of things and starts getting that you know, number one bell cow type running back workload. You know, so what had happened was, if you started Josh Reynolds, and you might be thinking to yourself, who the hell is Josh Reynolds? You weren't paying attention to the entire episode of the soon-to-be-renamed Fantasy Football Podcast on 929thegame.com, because I did say pick up Josh Reynolds and start him should Brandon Cooks and or Cooper Kupp sit out. They both started this game, although Cooper Kupp is now injured with a different injury. We'll get to that a little bit later. Josh Reynolds, 1 catch for -2 yards, but there was a caveat in that fire pick that you pick him up and you start him if Coop and Cooks or Cooks sit out. They both played, so pay attention. And that those things won't happen.
Yeah, the caveats are important. I mean,
absolutely.
We do. And the other thing too, I mean, very genuinely, we do this podcast on Tuesday. We don't have the flexibility in our schedules to do it later in the week. And there's all sorts of injury news. So we try to get out in front of things, guys that you should grab on the waiver wire, guys that you should consider starting. But all this information changes, just like we mentioned with Dalvin Cook and with especially wide receiver cores, because you could have 2, 3, 4 guys in the mix, much like Green Bay on Monday night. You had no clue if Geronimo Allison or Randall Cobb was going to play. Then all of a sudden, as soon as that information comes out that they're not, guess what? Valdez Scantling is someone that was a solid flex play or even a wide receiver 3 play for a lot of situations. My next what had happened was, I told you to sit everybody on the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill didn't play, okay? But somehow Brock Osweiler came out just slinging the ball all around the yard. Albert Wilson had a monster game. And this Dolphins team, they do have a lot of speed, and they're somehow 4-2. But I don't see this continuing. I think it's going to be so random, the outburst of these different wide receivers scoring. I mean, Albert Wilson's someone you could pick up to play to hope for that 80-yard touchdown run. Because when he gets the ball in space, he's going to score. But I just don't see this moving forward. One thing I do want to mention, shout out to Frank Gore. He's someone I've had on my team a lot recently. I mean, in years past, over the history of me playing fantasy football. The old guy had 15 carries for 101 yards and a catch for 18 yards. I'm not saying to pick him up or play him moving forward. I just want to give a shout out to him, because a lot of people don't realize he's got the 4th most rushing yards in NFL history.
He slid into the top
5. The only guys that have run the ball for more yards than him in NFL history are Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, and Barry Sanders.
Yeah, Frank Gore is going to Emmitt Smith his way into the Hall of Fame, for surely.
100%. You know? 100%.
So what had happened was, in the 929 The Game Fantasy Football League, in a game where I lost by 20 points, I started Chris Carson, who scored 6 points, over Emmanuel Sanders, who scored 25 points in a matchup that I thought was tough for Emmanuel Sanders, and it was great for Chris Carson. And that's what happens sometimes in fantasy football. You know, decisions are made that cost you games, and it could be just one player. So with that being said, let me go ahead and give you a standings recap of where we are through week six in the 9-2-9 The Game Fantasy Football League. Jarrett Smith is just rolling everybody at 5-1 and in first place. At second place, we have a tie between Wendy, our own Brian Gebhardt, Jahi, Corey James at 4-2. Bo Morgan and Tanitra are sitting back there at 4th and 5th at 3-3. Then myself, Rick Kamla, Jarvis, and Mike McKenzie at 2-4, rounded off by Gordon Robinson, who is sitting down in the last place spot at 1-5. Gordon, let's make a trade.
I'm very interested to see how this rest of this year pans out for me there. I don't know if you saw the trade I made with Jarvis last week. It was Leonard Fournette. I got Leonard Fournette and Bilal Powell. That was just kind of a toss-in for Kerryon Johnson and Philip Lindsay. I have TJ Yeldon.
Yeah.
And I had,
that
you know, I was sitting at 3-2, and I'm like, you know what? I think I can afford to roll the dice on this Leonard Fournette trade. So we'll see how it goes. Any other what had happened was.
Nope, I'm good. So let's get into I Told You So. I'm going to come on back to Josh Gordon here. So Josh Gordon, who had 5 catches for 42 yards in a week where I told you start him because he's going to be a fire pick, he got 9 targets from Tom Brady. That's the biggest part about Josh Gordon's game. 9 targets from Tom Brady can turn into a lot of offense. You could tell if you watched that game, they were not quite on the same page. There were a couple times where Tom Brady tried to throw the back shoulder where at least 2 of the calls, it looked like Josh Gordon was interfered with and there was no flag. So give these guys another week or so at practice. You know, it's going to happen. Josh Gordon is going to blow up. I don't know if my long shot, you know, pick that I made at the beginning of the season, my, you know, is going to come to fruition about him and Julio Jones. He hadn't been on the field enough. But Josh Gordon is going to end up turning in a pretty decent fantasy football season. 9 targets out of Tom Brady. Only produced 5 catches, 42 yards, but it will get better from there on.
If he, I mean, if he's getting 9 targets from Brady, like you mentioned, he's someone that you got to play unless you have a better option. I mean, he's just, the ceiling for him is so good. I imagine weeks that he gets 8 or 9 or more targets, he probably will find the end zone more often than not. My first told you so is something we've talked about. I told you to pick up and play Jameis Winston and Cameron Brate. Winston had nearly 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. Brate only had that 1 catch on the first touchdown drive. Thank God he got that. It was a hell of a catch, too. And, you know, O.J. Howard coming back really kind of ate into his production and his workload. But Winston paid off in a big way. Won me a couple weeks this week.
So my next, I told you so, John Brown, Baltimore Ravens. I've been hot on John Brown the entire season, but he was going up against a good pass defense in the Tennessee Titans. John Brown has 2 catches for 28 yards. The biggest thing about John Brown is he is a very talented wide receiver who will be used, and he is the favorite target of Joe Flacco. The only thing about that is that Joe Flacco is not a tremendously good quarterback. All right, so when you're faced with a pass defense that is good, and the Tennessee Titans do have a good pass defense, you're probably not going to get production out of your Baltimore Ravens wide receivers, maybe more so the tight ends and running backs, because Joe Flacco is just not very good.
Sticking with that same game, the Ravens had 11 sacks against the Titans in that game, and that slides right into my next I told you so. Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis, I mean, these guys, they're unplayable right now. I told you to sit them. It's not even a good call anymore. Yeah. It's just like if you're
it's like really these guys.
If you're not doing this by now, just stop playing them altogether. Just stop doing it. Try to find the guy in your league who's a Titans fan somehow and wants them for absolutely nothing, and go ahead and make that trade.
So my next and final, I told you so. Carlos Hyde. Hopefully you benched him. It was not a horrible matchup, but it was one of the worst matchups of the week versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Carlos Hyde finishes the week with 3.4 points. The Browns' offense, especially the running game, is going to be based on matchups. You know, they got talented people, but they just can't put it together versus good rush defenses. We're going to take a small break on the Fantasy Football Podcast, formerly known as the Fantasy Flex. We'll be right back with you with Fantasy Football Fire and Ice. Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Podcast, formerly known as the Fantasy Flex on 929thegame.com. Thank you for joining us for this Week 7 edition. Bo Johnson, Brian Gebhardt here with you for some Fantasy Football Fire and Ice, our weekly take on just a few players apiece who we think you should absolutely start because they're going to be on fire, or you might leave on your bench because they're going to be icy cold. Brian Gebhardt, go ahead and give me a fire pick this week.
All right. This was off a little nugget that Bo had given me as someone that I probably would have looked at as well. Got two running backs here, Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman. This has been a conversation we've had a lot here as far as what to do with these Denver running backs. Obviously, at this point in time, you're probably starting Philip Lindsay unless you just have an absolutely stacked group of running backs. But Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, this Thursday night's game between the Cardinals and the Broncos features the two worst run defenses in the league. So fire up both these Broncos running backs with confidence. And expect a big game from David Johnson as well, who's been so far this year.
Hopefully, you know, I don't think that too many people have given up on David Johnson, but you probably have thrown him into that kind of washing machine of rotation of running backs. If he's on your team, you definitely want to start him. He has the best matchup he's had all season this week. Give me some Chester Rogers from the Indianapolis Colts this week versus the Buffalo Bills. Look, Andrew Luck is throwing the ball at an alarming pace. This is not going to stop because they have an absolutely horrible defense. A very similar situation as you're seeing in Tampa Bay, as you're seeing in Atlanta. Andrew Luck's thrown for 16 touchdowns and 1,800 yards thus far in the season. Chester Rogers has 14-plus fantasy points in three straight games since T.Y. Hilton's been out. T.Y. Hilton's probably not playing again this week. Oh, and now Ryan Grant has an ankle issue and may not start this week as well. So, you know, by process of elimination, Chester Rogers should be a pretty good start for you this week.
Yeah, Rogers is that guy moving forward until Hilton's back. I picked him up and played him in, I think, two leagues this week. I unfortunately had to pick up Grant and play him in one league this week, and that didn't work out too well. But, yeah, Rogers, especially in PPR, is going to do really well over the next couple weeks.
Agreed.
Next fire pick for me. This is my guy. Is one of my guys. I'm just going to stick with him. He's going to prove me wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong until the fantasy playoffs, and then we're going to win a championship with him. That's Dalvin Cook. If he plays, I swear at some point it's going to pay off. He's just so much more talented than Latavius Murray. The Vikings are at the Jets, who don't have the world's best run defense. And if Cook doesn't play, consider Murray my fire pick this week. I want to put that out there now so I don't have to tweet it out.
Pay attention to the Twitter.
Exactly.
If the fire pick changes this week, as it very well might. My next fire pick this week, Tyler Boyd, man. Why do people keep sleeping on Tyler Boyd? The very worst pass defense in the NFL belongs to the Kansas City Chiefs. Guess who the Cincinnati Bengals are playing this week? The Kansas City Chiefs. Tyler Boyd, in four of the six games that he's played, which is every game, 20-plus fantasy points. Like, against the worst pass defense in the NFL, of course you're starting Tyler Boyd this week.
Who was the other Boyd that they had a couple years ago? It was started with the T. It wasn't not Taj Boyd, because that's the quarterback from Clemson. They had another wide receiver named Boyd a couple years ago who was extremely inconsistent, and I swear people think he's the same person. So I know
they ever on the team at the same time. If it was only a couple years ago, they had to have been.
I think it was right before Tyler Boyd got there for some reason. We'll have to look that up. Anyways,
wasn't TJ Houshmandzadeh, because that's not a Boyd.
Was it TJ Boyd actually though? I think that may have been his name. I don't know. Anyways, him. Pick up Tyler Boyd and play him. I'll stick with the wide receiver here as well, and kind of a wide receiver too for his team, if you will. That's Sterling Shepard. He had a couple really good weeks. Last couple weeks haven't been so hot. But Monday Night Football right here in Atlanta, this should be a shootout, Giants and Falcons, and I expect Shepard to bounce back in a big way and have a big game here on Monday night.
So my last fire pick for you this week is kind of coming out of left field with this one, and it's going to be Peyton Barber from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns are giving up 138 yards on the ground, although they do have a pretty good pass defense. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm not saying their pass game is going to be shut down this week, but Peyton Barber did total 106 all-purpose yards versus the Falcons, who have a very similar type defense. So the Cleveland Browns do give up a lot of yards on the ground. You can look for Peyton Barber to have a pretty decent week this week.
And at some point, the Bucs are going to want to try to commit to the run a little bit so they can keep their defense off the field, so they're not in all these shootouts all the time with the crappy defense that they have. That moves us over to our first ice pick. I'm going to start off with Deshaun Watson. Watson's been very good this season, although his numbers here or there, he's got the rushing yards. So he's been very startable, very solid player up until this past week. But I think that continues his struggles that is heading into this week at Jacksonville. The Jags are coming off an embarrassing loss to the Cowboys, and the Jags have to get this defense has to get right. They don't look like the Jacksonville team from last year, but I expect them to kind of shut down this Texans offense. Obviously, you're going to be playing Hopkins, but I wouldn't try to start Deshaun Watson this week in Jacksonville.
So my first ice pick this week is going to be Carlos Hyde of the Cleveland Browns. Same game, different side of the ball. Tampa Bay is actually the third best rush defense as far as total yards in the NFL. Tampa Bay is doing something right. I think Cleveland's going to have to air this ball out, take advantage of that crappy Tampa Bay secondary to win this one. I see this as being a bigger Duke Johnson game than Carlos Hyde if you are stuck in that situation right there.
I expect the same thing, especially if the Browns get down early and are playing catch-up a little bit. I don't think they'll be able to commit to the run. I'm going to roll with the Dolphins receiving core. A lot of the reasons I brought up earlier, sure, Brock Osweiler had a good game. Brocktober, I think, is the hashtag that's going around, which is ridiculous in its own right. But Detroit, who they got this week, is allowing the third fewest points to fantasy wide receivers, and I just don't see this monster game from Albert Wilson or a big game from Kenny Stills. I think this Dolphins defense gets shut down, or this Dolphins offense gets shut down, especially this wide receiver group.
So my next ice pick is going to be Alex Collins of the Baltimore Ravens. I know Alex Collins had a 20-point game finally last week, but this week I'm going to have to go ahead and stash him onto my bench until the until a better matchup comes along. They are playing the New Orleans Saints, who are all of a sudden the NFL best in total yards, yards per game, and yards per attempt versus the rush. The Saints have the best rush defense in the NFL. Say that with me one time, everybody. The Saints, the New Orleans Saints, have the best rush defense in the NFL. Now, on the other side of that coin, you can look for Javorius Buck Allen to have a pretty decent game right now. He leads Alex Collins in targets 30-14, receptions 24-9, and receiving yards 149-77. When Baltimore gets down in a game, they turn to Buck Allen. They also use Buck Allen in the red zone or on goal line carries too. So you've got a pass catching running back who gets goal line carries. The Ravens should be down in this game, even though they are at home. Drew Brees in this New Orleans offense is absolutely on fire and unstoppable almost. So you can look for Buck Allen to have a much bigger game than Alex Collins. Alex Collins will be icy this week.
I like the professional and statistical way you like to bring in your homerism. I mean, it, all of what you said is very true. You can't make this stuff up. So,
accurate.
But Bo, you guys should see him. I wish we had a camera sometimes. Got a big smile on his face when he's talking about the Saints run defense. He's fired up and ready to
go.
It's
just fun to say.
As he should
be.
New
Orleans Saints.
I can't bring anything good with the Giants right now. We're talking about our best player, throwing temper tantrums like a four-year-old. So, my last ice pick, he's someone I rolled with last week. He wound up having a 94 total yards, so he had a pretty solid game. LeSean McCoy, they are at Indy this week. Josh Allen looks like he's going to be out for a couple weeks. That means one Nate Peterman is going to be going out there as the starter, and if the Colts defense should be completely honed in and focused on LeSean McCoy, because you know what? If Zay Jones or Kelvin Benjamin beats you, oh well. But if LeSean McCoy beats you and Nathan Peterman's the quarterback, shame on you.
So my last ice pick this week, this one comes very hard for me to bring to the forefront here, as it's simply based on a horrible matchup. This is one of those players that's right there on the cusp of almost being matchup proof. All right, it's only been a few games of sample size, so it's a very small sample size, but this guy is going to blow up for the rest of the season, could end up winning your league, and that player is going to be Sony Michel of the New England Patriots, who's playing the best run defense, or the second best, I guess, in the NFL. They have not allowed a touchdown yet this season. The Chicago Bears haven't. Now, you might be saying, okay, well, they're due. Well, they might be. All right. You might start Sony Michel because he plays for the Patriots. He's had a few good games. He is Tom Brady's his quarterback. He hasn't been used as much as we think that they're going to in the pass game. I would just look at that matchup. Look at what you have on your bench. If you can go with a more favorable matchup, that's something I would probably do. In a PPR league, I might start thinking about like a Buck Allen or even a Duke Johnson over Sony Michel this week when they've got this crappy Bears rush defense. Don't look for the same thing to happen to the Bears this week versus the Patriots as did with the Miami Dolphins. I'm not saying the Patriots might not wipe the floor with the Chicago Bears. I just don't think they're going to be able to do it on the ground.
It's very interesting because, you know, you've been on Sony all year, so a call like this is something you obviously feel very strongly about. The only thing that's really interesting about that matchup is, yes, the Bears, he might not get the yardage, but you know every time the Patriots are inside that five, they're going to look to run the ball.
Yeah.
Then they might get shut down. So I'm very interested to see how this one plays out.
Yeah, just look at, I'm not saying icy ice, like for maybe like slushy ice.
Could moderate. Couple ice cubes. Not a bunch of ice cubes.
Now on to our waiver wire pickups for the week. Who you got on the waiver wire you're looking to acquire this week, Brian?
All right, first guy is pretty obvious and pretty fresh in everybody's mind. Marquise Goodwin, he had a big game on Monday night. It's not something you should expect all the time, but he's somebody that you can plug and play and hope that he gets a long touchdown pass because he's got that type of speed. And there's not a ton of wide receivers that you can just throw out there and hope they get like a 60-yard touchdown. He's on the short list of that, much like a Kenny Stills or a Robbie Anderson. Unreliable guys, but again, if you're decimated by byes this week, he's someone you could pick up and play.
That touchdown that Marquise Goodwin ran in for when he caught the ball on like the 15, 20-yard line, did you see the burst on that kid? Like, he caught the ball, turned around, and was in the end zone. The cornerback had no chance. If he wasn't there when the ball was caught, no chance of catching Marquise Goodwin. I love that waiver wire pickup right there. So my next one is going to be one that I pulled from last week because the situation is even worse this week, and it might be a chance that this guy might be used. That's going to be Josh Reynolds of the Los Angeles Rams. So Cooper Kupp was pulled down by a horrible horse collar this past week where he actually injured his MCL, sprained his MCL, don't know what knee it is, doesn't really matter. Sean McVay's already come out and said today that he does not think Cooper Kupp's going to practice. Keep an eye on that. I know waivers are going to process tomorrow or Thursday. If you have room, go ahead and pick him up if you're a Kupp owner. Doesn't look like Cooper Kupp's going to play. He could. If Cooper Kupp plays, I'm not starting Josh Reynolds. If Cooper Kupp sits, it's a good play for you this week if you do need some help.
Even if he does practice, I expect it to be very limited. And you got to be pretty dumb, which I don't think Sean McVay is by any means. I think he's one of the smartest coaches in the league. They're undefeated. Kupp's been an absolute stud. You're going to need him down the stretch. I don't expect him to play this week and probably even the following week.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's
just
a good call.
No reason for him to be doing that. My next guy is O.J. Howard. He's someone that people probably picked back up before this week, but if you didn't, a lot of people dropped him because he was supposed to be out between 2 to 4 weeks and was back
nothing.
A lot sooner than everyone thought. So if he is out there for some reason, he is a plug-and-play tight end one. He's someone that you can expect to be in that 5, 6, 7, 8 range and even upwards of that on a weekly basis at the tight end position.
So this next guy that I'm telling you pick back up this week is a guy that we told you is go ahead and it was safe to go ahead and throw this guy onto the trash heap along with the rest of the country because his ownership is very, very little and minuscule, and it's well-deserved. But with an injury to Quincy Enunwa that could put him out for up to a month, I'm going ahead and I think Robbie Anderson's a pretty good pickup on the waiver wire as Sam Darnold's pieced together a few good fantasy weeks, and he's got to be throwing the ball to somebody. It can't all be Austin Safarian and Jenkins. Yeah, there's a blast from the past. Robbie Anderson, I think, is a good pickup for you this week on the waiver wire.
Much like a Goodwin, like a Stills. I mean, he's a guy that you plug in and you hope he gets a long touchdown.
Deep ball threat.
And he could. It's a coin flip for him to get something like that. My last pickup of the week, again, is somebody that a lot of people dropped before this week because of the bye week, and they thought Ronald Jones was going to be the starter at running back. Coming out of the bye is Peyton Barber, someone that Bo has talked a lot about. Milton High School's own Peyton Barber. And if he is out there for some reason, make sure that you go ahead and pick him up.
That's a great call, too. And the Ronald Jones day, I hope, is coming because I have him in the Dynasty League that we're in together. I actually started him this week because we all thought it was going to be the Ronald Jones week. And look at Peyton Barber comes out with a triple digits in total yards. My last waiver wire pickup is not going to be available in a bunch of leagues, but the statistics I'm about to give you about his ownership are still staggering to me, and that's going to be one Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, Tyler Boyd. 4 out of the 6 games he's played, 20-plus points. All right, Josh Gordon, we're still waiting to emerge. We're still waiting on that game to where we can just lock him in as a fantasy starter. Tyler Boyd, 83% owned as of an hour ago in all ESPN leagues. Josh Gordon, 92% owned in all ESPN leagues. I think they both should be owned 100%. It just blows me away of how people are still sleeping on Tyler Boyd. Don't sleep on Tyler Boyd any longer. That's going to do it for us in the Fantasy Football Podcast, formerly known as the Fantasy Flex. For my co-host and super producer, Brian Gebhardt, my name is Bo Johnson. Thanks for tuning in. Find us on 929thegame.com each and every week. Cheers.
Just two boys.